Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your dear Son, our Lord, we come before your throne of grace, confessing, Lord God, how we need the Holy Spirit to put Jesus before us, to always keep your word before us, that we would not simply give you thanks for the things that you have given to us, but that we would be good stewards as to how to employ these things, how to live with them, how to handle them, and how to be good stewards of them, so that we, by your grace, truly demonstrate that we understand thanksgiving in our lives. Lord Jesus, we also come before you that always in the battle, always in the conflict within, we all carry around our sinful nature. And there's a part of us that does not want to give thanks, but rather complain and to recount all the reasons why we suspect that we're tempted to feel as though we're being hypocritical when so much is going on inside, countering true thanksgiving. But Lord, we come before you according to your grace and spirit, crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires, and also crucifying our unthankful hearts and our complaining ways. And we ask you once again in Jesus to keep us in grace, to raise us up as your new people, that we would give you thanks and praise forever and ever. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, as of late, I'm trying to offer something that perhaps might be more memorable for you as you depart from our worship services. And you know me, I love to write and always willing to write the nice manuscripts for you and to share them with you. But it's been my goal lately that I want stuff to be retained. So for tonight, there's really, even with the short outline you have within your bulletin, there's really an even shorter outline as you go forth from this evening into your Thanksgiving tomorrow, just four words. And they're all from Deuteronomy chapter 8. So you might notice there's an introduction, there's a part one, and there is a part two. The one word for part one, to keep it simple, so you may abide in this, hopefully all day tomorrow as you give thanks to God. Introduction is the word remember. That's it, remember. And that's the biggie. We're going to talk about that. When we get to part two, two words reflected from verse 2 and verse 3 after the introduction, remember. And that's the word humbled, the word humbled, and the word word. Okay, that's part one, humbled and word. And then as we go to consider verses 5 and 6, part two, we're going to especially look at the word keep, the word keep. So I'm asking you, in really knowing Thanksgiving in your lives as Thanksgiving, to know promise, humbled, word, and keep. I, of course, always prepare myself in prayer before I come before you. And just about a half hour before I started to drive here this evening, I was already tempted to be distracted and out of sorts and hampered by anxiety. My little granddaughter, Malia, who's only 3 years old, is currently in ICU at Saddleback Hospital, and they're doing tests on her. And of course, I'm very concerned, and I will be going to see her right after service in ER. And I mention this because this is a sort of thing that always seems to interfere with Thanksgiving. When there's so many things in life that cause us to worry, to be anxious, to fear, and again, we try to take stock, and we try to do inventory and go, is it really in me? Am I really feeling it to give thanksgiving? And nobody knows our struggle, brothers and sisters in Christ, better than God. So he gives us his word in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's a phenomenal scripture. It is the Old Testament scripture that we turn to every Thanksgiving, Deuteronomy chapter 8. What a fantastic, fantastic scripture. And it begins with that word, as I shared with you, remember. Because if we are truly going to know Thanksgiving in our lives in Christ Jesus, the only way it's going to happen is if we remember the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And God would not put out that imperative unless in our sinful nature, we're always, he knows, because we're always not remembering, but forgetting. Forgetting how God has blessed us. It's so easy for us to do. We get caught up in the everyday. And as we do, feeling the stress of the everyday challenges, the everyday burdens, the everyday, you know, in my culture, ay, 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 as you face all of that, right? And all of that, we forget God's boundless grace. Instead of remembering, we forget. And then it's all downhill from there. And Satan loves it when we get that way, when we no longer remember. So our Lord was blessing the people of Israel as they were going through the desert for 40 years. Yeah, 40 years. Moses went out, of course, to the mount, and Jesus to the wilderness for 40 days, but Israel, 40 years. Why? It's to test them. It's to humble them. So that they would know, as we have in the primary verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, at verse 3, so they would know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God isn't out to get us. He isn't like this Marine drill sergeant who's just going to hit us up with the most severe discipline so we can get our acts together. But by the way, I love the Marines. No offense, Carl. He is rather recognizing that precisely because of our sinful nature and our tendencies to not remember, as a loving Heavenly Father, He permits us to be humbled. When Tracy first got her diagnosis of acute lymphoblastic leukemia, it was a shock to the system. But I'm telling you, with your encouragement and the prayers that you've offered to uplift us, it has turned into a season of remembering that God is true to His promises. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He works through trial to lead us to thanksgiving. That's what He does for us. I'll never forget it. It was in the early 1990s. I had only been a pastor for a couple of years in Covina, California. And there I was on Thanksgiving Eve in the pulpit at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church and School of Covina, California, preaching on Deuteronomy chapter 8, that God humbles us. And for this, we begin to know true thanksgiving as we see how He leads us through trial and affliction. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, after that evening service, in the wee hours of that same time frame, after we had all left, some vandals and arsonists broke into the sanctuary. They broke into the music director's office and piled all of her music into the narthex and started a bonfire. And our church was engulfed in flames. I had driven up north to Delano for a 10-year class reunion, a high school class reunion, and my dad had the television on and saw the news, and he called me to the television, and I saw my church burning on TV. So I loaded up the kids, and I drove back to our home in Covina. I arrived that evening, and the firefighters got the fire out, and things were smoldering still. But one of the most amazing things happened that represents what I'm sharing with you this evening. What do we do with this? How do we respond? And how do we remember that God is with us even through the afflictions and trials? I'll never forget, many of my members were there, and we went into the center of what was left of our church. We held hands and we made a circle. And not only did we thank him for the provision he's been providing for us all along and the provision that he would provide for us as we rebuild, but in front of reporters and firefighters, we prayed for the vandals and the arsonists and gave that testimony, remembering God's promises. It was a phenomenal experience I'll never forget. A couple of quick stories. One that was shared with me by a parishioner in Texas, and the other shared with me with a parishioner in St. Paul's when we were in Laguna Beach, both of whom had gorgeous homes. Okay, so all the things we give thanks to God for, we thank him for our cars and our clothes and our artifacts and our collections, all the things that he gives unto us. In Laguna Beach, Pastor Gesh, Roy Gesh, had a spectacular home on the hills of Laguna Beach that reflected the marvelous ministry that God had granted him as a pastor and a missionary. Wonderful library, great missionary artifacts that adorned his home, telling of the graces of God, of his blessing through decades and decades of holy ministry, all of it up in smoke. And Pastor Gesh, as I was still a very young pastor, I got to see in him what we're talking about right now. That all he would do is give thanks and praise to God that his family was safe and that the Lord was keeping his promise to always be with them. I was just amazed. He didn't skip a beat in his faith going forward. And then I was in Texas, and my parishioner there was a constructor. Man, he put together the most gorgeous houses in the Woodlands, Texas. It's kind of the Irvine of the Houston area. And there, as he was out doing bids and what have you, he saw smoke plumes come up in the city. And he knew his geography very well, and he became very concerned. So he was off and running to drive as fast as he could. And sure enough, it was his house that was on fire. And he told me after that, "Pastor, you know, all I cared about when I got there was where was my wife and my daughter. That's all I was thinking of. And when I found them, I was perfectly fine and thankful, even as I saw my house burn down." So God gives us many things. What are we doing with them? How do we handle these gifts? How are we attached to them? How are we living with them? These are the questions that we ask as we go forth. In Philippians 4, the epistle that Victor wrote, we have one of the greatest scriptures I like to share. That's Philippians 4:13. I know you know it well, right? Paul is talking about in the prior verse at 12 that he knows what it's like to, you know, to be humbled and to be in plenty. And what does he say at 13, 4:13 of Philippians? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's through him who strengthens me. I like to have the Christ in there when I quote it. That's so true. Isn't it great to be able to give thanks to God tomorrow that no matter what, you are in Christ? No matter what comes, you are in Christ. And that is cause for the greatest thanksgiving in the world. But how does God and the Holy Spirit keep us in thanksgiving? He tells us to remember. We know that he humbles us. But what does he actually employ to keep us in thanksgiving? And you know the answer there too. It's his word. It's his word. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's through this word, not by our own works, not by our own, you know, clenching our fists and grinding our teeth to try to be more faith-inspired, but it's this word that enters into our hearts and minds, and the Holy Spirit gives us the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. It's the word of Christ that gives us true thanksgiving to know what will last, even through all the things that turn to dust. So this word is given to you, and for what? For an active life in Christ that's depicted in verses 5 and 6 with the word keeping. I just want to say up front, this is not about any kind of moral perfectionism. It's not keeping in such a way as we say, well, you know, whatever God commands, we can do, and you can be like Pelagius or Tim LaHaye and become a legalist. No, rather the word means that you are keeping before your eyes of faith the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in his word. Through all of your ups and downs and your struggles with your own sins, you're keeping the word before you. It guides you. It leads you. You know what the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. This word is before me. I keep it before my eyelids. And this is the word by which through which the Holy Spirit keeps us in true thanksgiving. But I want you to look at the couple of elaborations I have in the notations. The keeping on page 7 is translated into two things, walking in God's way and fearing God. I'm getting to the practicalities. How do we live in thanksgiving? Here it is. It is walking in God's ways and fearing God. Otherwise, we're going to forget. So I'm encouraging you, my brothers and sisters, as you live your lives in Christ, to know thanksgiving every single day as you conduct yourselves in accord with the living sacrifice that God calls us to conduct every single day, that you are walking in God's ways. And what is that way? It is the way of Christ, your Savior. Every single time you encounter a reason to complain or to fear and to be anxious, run to the cross. Go to Christ. Walk in God's ways, which is in the only way, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you get to this word fear. I was just talking to Vicar before. I'm not sure if he had peeked at the outline. He mentioned the word fear as we were getting ready, Vicar. Two kinds of fears. One is a slavish fear. That's a fear that fears that God is going to punish us, that he's going to condemn us. He's going to get us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, that fear is gone. Perfect love, according to 1 John 4, drives away all fear like that. God is now on your side. There is nothing to fear that way. The new fear is a filial fear or a love fear. That fear does not run away from God. It runs towards God, and it holds on to him with all of our might as we worship him in spirit and truth and in reverence. That's the kind of fear of God that keeps us remembering, and it keeps us knowing how to live in thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to try to memorize these four words. You got remember, humbled, word, and keep. And now we're going to translate them in conclusion with the gospel. Jesus remembers you. We sang the hymn last Sunday, if you were here, Jesus, remember me, right? He remembers you, brothers and sisters. Jesus humbled himself for you. Jesus puts his word in you. Jesus keeps you so that you have nothing to fear. And as a result of this truth and of this gospel, we are thankful. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.